answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is an ABC News special report.
Hi, I'm Diane Macedo. We are coming on the air with breaking news. A U.S. official confirms to ABC News that it appears a U.S. fighter jet has been shot down by Iran. Now a search and rescue operations underway. Let's get to our chief global affairs anchor, Martha Raddatz. Martha, what do we know so far?
Well, Diane, what we do know is this was a two-seater aircraft. The pilot would be in front. The weapons systems officer would be in back. And this would be a very dramatic and very dangerous rescue. Iran's Revolutionary Guard saying that Iranian forces had shot down the U.S. fighter overnight, with Iranian state media releasing images of the wreckage of a jet and of an intact ejection seat. The IRGC said it was an F-35, but from the images that we do believe are credible but have not independently verified, it looks like an Air Force F-15. Now, U.S. pilots are trained in what is called SEER if they are shot down or have to eject over enemy territory. SEER stands for survive, evade, resist, and escape. The pilots, the navigator, of course, know that Iranians would be looking for them. In fact, Iran put out a message to shoot the pilots if they were found and a reward was being offered.
But we have good news, at least for one pilot, confirming that one pilot has already been rescued. Where exactly it went down over Iran, not clear. How they were rescued, still not clear. A lot of that will be developing. And, of course, the other pilot will probably also be found if he's in that same area. Now, you've got to keep in mind, we want to continue to pray for all of our men and women in theater and downrange, because they are all subject to any attacks. And Trump, of course, had said the other day that we have decimated Iran's ability. And there are those on the left. Listen to me, please. There are those on the left that are happy that one of our fighter jets was shot down. Period. Whether or not we get both crew members back. They don't care. They're glad to see. See, Trump lied to you. Listen, they have a lot of weapons still. We know that. And yes, the capability in Iran has been greatly, greatly diminished. But they still just need one lucky shot from time to time. It is a sad fact that we've got, quote, Americans that are glad to see this happen. Welcome to our number one, Larry Connors USA. And if you hear some background noise, sounds like drilling things that they termites. We got massive termites in the building. You know, I think I heard one then. Well, if he comes in here, he's going to get himself smashed. If I don't do it, Jerome will do it. We're not going to allow them inside, but they make enough noise occasionally that they're going to come through. Please bear with us. We've still got a great program for you, as always. And reminding you, with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education every day. You'll walk away from each hour with more knowledge than you had as we began that hour. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 for you. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. You might even see one of the termites behind me. If you see them, I'll turn around and knock the daylights out of it. And also reminding you, you can watch us on Larry Connors USA, Rumble, or Facebook. And everything goes up, including the noise of the termites, later on a podcast at News Talk STL, Facebook, Twitter, and LarryConnorsUSA.com and Larry Connors USA Facebook. Later this hour, Richard Battle on faith, freedom, and America's moral crisis. On this Good Friday, we need to hear this message from Richard Battle coming up later in this hour. Next hour, how to get free federal dollars. You can get free money. Did you know you could do that? You get free money from the government? Some already know how to do it, and they've been doing it. That story in the next hour. But also in this hour, before we conclude, the story behind the story. The assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It actually happened on April 4th, which would be tomorrow, a Saturday. But since we're not on the air then, we're going to do that story behind the story today. That's coming up later. Let's go back to how ABC was talking about Trump's speech the other night and in light of what just happened with one of our fighter jets.
The president's first primetime address since this war began. The president repeatedly touted how the U.S. military and its prowess has decimated the Iranian regime as well as its military, saying they have no navy, they have no air force, that they have no anti-aircraft equipment. But what we have seen is, despite the sustained continued U.S. military assault, Iran has maintained the ability to maneuver and to hit back. And so far, when we talk about the impact on U.S. troops in this war, there have been 13 U.S. troops killed so far, 348 troops who have been wounded so far in this conflict. And it also comes as the American people have been waiting to hear more from the president about how all of this could end.
That is ABC. And you heard how they were saying Trump is touted. Well, that is true, but they're saying it in the sense they want you to believe we should not have anyone else in danger. No jet should be shot down. No ship should be hit by anything from Iran. The reality is it's war, and they will continue as long as we're in the theater. And they are basically, I'm not going to say ABC is cheerleading those who want to see us suffer casualties, but I do know in their midst there probably many are. They are. You cannot deny that. Hegseth did step up yesterday and said, you need to sign this paper. U.S. Army Chief of Staff General Randy George to step down. NBC reporting.
Basically, this is Secretary Hegseth is going after people and has been since he was nominated or since he was confirmed into this job and sworn in. He goes after people who have any kind of ties to DEI, have any ties to the retired general Mark Milley and the previous administration. And that's where Randy George fell in here, the Army general. He worked directly as the senior military aide for the former Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin. Mm. So the reality is he has been in the crosshairs with Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth for some time. But I cannot stress to you enough the idea that the Secretary of Defense just fired the head of the Army, the four-star general in charge of the United States Army while the U.S. is at war, is for nothing to do with the war, by the way, is so beyond unorthodox.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We have decimated the leadership in Iran from their leadership of the Ayatollahs all the way down through 7, 8, 9 deep in their military staff. And I don't hear that much from the left talking about what we've done to them. And when Hegseth turns around and fires the Army Chief of Staff, General Randy George, and two others who are on the line as well, I don't know all the details behind it, but a lot of that has to do with these folks were in charge when General Austin was serving as the head of the military and Secretary of Defense and going along with Joe Biden DEI programs. Now, maybe they did or did not want to go with it, but the bottom line is they did. And apparently, after this much time, Hegseth has decided they need to go so we can improve morale and get more warriors on the front, not DEI members. And keep in mind, while he is an Army general, chief of staff, he's not in the field fighting, and he's not the only one responsible for what we do or do not do in Iran. But if you listen to NBC, that's exactly what's happening. And, of course, they bring in somebody on MS Now, an Atlantic columnist, Tom Nichols, who says, oh, my God, what have we done?
Sometimes it happens. A general and a SecDef just don't get along. That's not what's going on. Hegseth has been on a rolling purge of senior officers from the moment he got here, got to the Pentagon. That's really concerning because there needs to be some guidance behind that. And I do think you need to explain to the American people, look, I'm cleaning out these officers because I want officers that have more of a certain kind of skill or more of a certain kind of background. And instead, it seems like this is in particular an animus against the Army, which, Hegseth has some pretty bitter feelings about as a passed over major who later said that the Army literally he wrote that it spit him out. and also against kind of the American high command in general. This goes back to the day when he dragged 800 generals and admirals into an auditorium and, you know, said, new sheriff in town, everybody's got to lose weight. So I think this is a real concern about what kind of political project here is causing, or personal issue for that matter, is causing Hegseth to try to clean out these top ranks. It's really disturbing, and it's especially disturbing when we're in the middle of a war.
Yeah. And there's Tom Nichols. I have no idea he ever served our country in the military. But he likes to use the term that Hegseth dragged all of these generals into a meeting and ordered them to shape up or ship out. So be it. But he won't say, I don't know if it's political or personal, because maybe he got passed over rank when he thought he should have had it. Bottom line is, we want a good fighting force. And there's no doubt that some of these that have been removed were involved in the DEI push forward by Biden through General Austin and others. And apparently they may still harbor some of those same thoughts. Well, Hegseth says we're done with that. Mm-hmm. But they want you to believe he's doing it in the middle of a war. What is going to happen to our military when he takes out these top commanders at that level? They are not directly involved anyway. They may or may not have a role to any extent. But do not believe the lies from the left that this is going to hurt our troops in the field. Mm-hmm. If anything, this is going to lift morale of troops. And yes, the U.S. continues, along with Israel, to pound Iran.
Well, the U.S. and Israel have carried out widespread airstrikes across Iran just hours after President Trump repeated the threat to bomb the country back to the Stone Ages. A key bridge near Tehran was among the targets hit. Mr. Trump posted a video of its destruction, urging Iran to agree a ceasefire deal before it's too late. And 100 experts in international law have warned of serious violations by the U.S., Israel, and Iran in the war in the Middle East. They say that the initial attack was a clear breach of the UN Charter, and also highlight the alarming language used by U.S. officials, including President Trump.
Oh, the alarming language. And 100 experts. They're all lackeys. They're condemning what Trump has said about Iran. And we look at what they were preparing to do, and we look at the missiles that they have amassed, and many they still have. We acknowledge that. Even if we got 90%, there's still 10% there. We have stopped them continuing to enrich uranium at this point, but they would start up again if we let up. So, yes, we continue to pound. And Trump had made that clear in his message the other day. We're still giving you an off-ramp to peace, but otherwise we're going to start going after your infrastructure, and it's going to cripple the nation and unfortunately hurt the people even more. Not that the Ayatollahs and the leaders care about the, quote, population. They've been slaughtering them, killing 700 over recent days just because. But cutting off this main bridge and hitting some other facilities, it is going to hurt the Iranian people. And that's not intended, but it will happen. We're not hitting civilian targets, but we're going to carry this out. You know, previously I pointed out the absurdity that U.S. forces are not allowed to carry weapons on base, be it here in the U.S. and sometimes even foreign bases. The Secretary of War says that's also changing.
Before today, most people probably don't know this, it was virtually impossible for War Department personnel to get permission to carry and store their own personal weapons aligned with the state laws where we operate our installations. I mean, effectively, our bases across the country were gun-free zones. Unless you're training, or unless you are a military policeman, you couldn't carry, you couldn't bring your own firearm for your own personal protection on to post. Well, that's no longer. The memo I'm signing today directs installation commanders to allow requests for personal protection to carry a privately owned firearm, with the presumption that it is necessary for personal protection. If a request is for some reason denied, the reason for that denial will be in writing and will explain in detail the basis for that direction. Again, the presumption is service members will be able to have their Second Amendment right on post. Not all enemies are foreign, nor are they all outside our borders. Some are domestic. Confirming your God-given right to self-protection is what I'm signing into action today, and I'm proud to do so.
Good, good, good. Now, he's talking about if you want to carry your private weapon onto the base. And, of course, they have military weapons there. They could have some of those if they would allow them. Now, I do not want to hear from those who say, oh, my God, they could all be shooting at each other. Do you not understand that when they go, quote, to war, they all have a weapon? And aside from that, look at our police departments. Do you think every police officer, once they go into the station, they've got to lock their weapon away? Now, if they're going in to interview someone or some situation like that, they do put their weapon away if they're going into jail. But inside the police department, the officers who are armed remain armed. Don't have mass shootings, do we? And I pointed out the other day in the story behind this story, the Fort Hood shooting in 2009. 13 killed, 40 injured by a psychiatrist who went jihadist. He supported jihad. And he just started taking them out, and they had no way to stop him. It took a civilian police officer, a female police officer, to get on that base to put a stop to it. Military police were there, but they couldn't find him in time. She got on base to help them, and she found him, and she stopped him, along with the help of another civilian officer. If you're in the military, you are already authorized and trained to use a weapon. Why the hell are we making it, as B-Texa said, gun-free zones, killing zones, on our bases? And that includes the recruitment offices. Remember the one that got shot out, the Marine recruitment office? They had no way to respond and protect themselves? That was just stupidity. We're coming around to, quote, common sense. And this will protect American troops, men and women. If someone goes berserk, there'll be others there to put them down. They don't have to wait for the police to arrive. It just has irritated me forever that we train our forces to how to use weapons, then we will not give them the weapon when they might need it, even on a base. And it does take away their Second Amendment rights. Coming up on this Good Friday, Richard Battle on the faith, freedom, and America's moral crisis. You do not want to miss this interview. And our story behind the story, assassinating MLK Jr., Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That's our story behind the story. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, here we are on Good Friday going into Easter, and we were trying to book this guest yesterday and we had some difficulties, but glad to have him on board today. He's author of several books you might have seen and read and see him on various other programs. Has his book titled Surviving Grief by God's Grace, and also his American book series Americans Who Made America. Richard Battle. Richard, glad to have you on board with us, sir.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you so much for having us with you.
Well, I wanted to definitely have you as we go into Easter, because I know you've been talking about faith, freedom, and America's moral crisis. Go ahead, sir.
Well, our country was founded by people searching for the free expression of their faith. And we had colonies before the country was founded that had their state or colony faith, if you will. Massachusetts was Congregationalist. We had Rhode Island was Baptist. Maryland was Catholic. And when we founded the country, they didn't want a single denomination. And so that was the reason the First Amendment said no establishment of a religion, because they didn't want a single Christian religion, but our founders were Christian and Judeo-Christian based. And I'm a believer that our freedom, individual freedom, and our free expression of our faith are intertwined. We get both or we get neither.
Now, you know what happens for many, I should say for some. When you talk about Judeo-Christian, well, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, they'll say, so you're not including me. That's not what we're saying.
Well, it's not. And we've had over our history, I think we've been primarily a Christian nation from principles, but we have not prevented other people from being here. And I think that's a difference. And they do not have to come here. If they can find a better place to express their faith, you know, God bless them, let them go there. But I think the Christian and Judeo-Christian expression is very tolerant of other beliefs.
In fact,
tolerant to the point that we allow people who disagree with us and who want to kill us to show up.
Yeah, and there is the distinction. I mean, they're allowed to practice their own faith. We don't make them adhere to ours. As long as their faith does not involve killing members of our faith simply because of faith.
That's exactly correct. And what we've done the last generation or two is we've been so tolerant that we've given up pieces of our principles so we wouldn't offend other people. And part of that comes from tolerance, and part of it comes from people drifting away from the faith and not holding as dearly and as respecting it as much as we did before.
I want to share something with you and the audience. I've never told the audience this. So this it kind of ties to your book, Surviving Grief by God's Grace, your personal dimension on reference your religion. I know growing up, I had some Jewish friends, and I had elders that would tell me that, well, you know, if they don't believe in Christ, they're not going to heaven. I do understand the concept of that now. At the time, I didn't, and I thought, well, they're good people. Why? Surely God has grace to allow them a last chance to believe in Christ at that point. That aside, not trying to make this a theological discussion, my thought was that that's why Jews hate Christ or put what they considered a man to death that they didn't think was Jesus anyway. But the bottom line is that, and I had a member of our church who had been born and had been Jew, but he became a Christian. I know many Jews who have become Christians. And I know some who had been raised Muslim, and they have converted to either Christianity or, well, I should say converted to Christianity.
Well, yes. And of course, Jesus was Jewish, our Savior, and the Jewish people are God's chosen people. And we're told in Genesis that he who blesses Israel will be blessed by God, and he who curses Israel will be cursed by God. And the Jews have been persecuted throughout history. They have a promise of a different eternity than Christians do, and they're waiting for the Messiah that they believe is still coming.
Right.
And we as the United States, because of that scriptural command, have always supported Israel because we feel it's our duty to do so. And I think part of the anti-Semitism we see evolving and coming out more now, it comes from that tolerance of anti-Semitism and, again, a drift away from our biblical leanings.
And you point out that that anti-Semitism should alarm every American, be you Jewish or Christian.
Well, there's anti-Semitism mostly coming from non-Christians, but unfortunately, too many Christians today don't understand why it's so important to support the Jewish people and their importance in God's plan for the future.
And you mentioned the persecution of the Jews. That was often brought on, if you go through the Old Testament, as you well know, and I know many of the listeners do, because the Jews turn their back on what God told them to do. But he would always save a remnant to go forward.
Well, that's correct. And it's interesting when we read the Jewish people would come back to God and then they drift away and he'd punish them. And then they'd come back and they drift away. And they had that cycle over and over and over again. And we read about them and we think, how could they do that? But I think it's very common for generation after generation of people, non-Jewish people, to do the same thing.
And Christians, I mean, if you worship money, you're worshiping an idol. Or if you worship sex or things of that nature, you're worshiping an idol, not Jesus Christ and God. Now, Jesus Christ, Resurrection Sunday, that is such a high holy day for Christians, and even Jews recognize the value. And we're in the middle of Passover for Jews right now.
Yes, and Easter, to me, that's the most important date in the history of mankind, because his physical resurrection from the dead as the first fruit, if you will, and his ascension 40 days later into heaven, where we believe he sits alive at the right hand of God, is very unique. We're the only faith, if you will, that we have no responsibilities except to believe. He's done everything else with his sacrifice. Every other faith, people have to try to do things to earn salvation, if you will.
Yeah.
And so that's a very important thing that we have to appreciate, that gift we've been given.
Yeah, if you look at the rules of the Torah and other things of that nature, I would fall way short. I could never make peace or approach God Jesus' death and sacrifice for us gives us that opportunity.
Well, yes, and it says in Romans 3, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us measure up, and since none of us can measure up, we all have to take that grace that was given to us by believing.
And in fact, it's like God looking at us and allowing it. Of course, we don't see him, but he allows us to reach through Jesus Christ, and we appear as clean as fresh-driven snow.
Thank God for that, because since none of us would qualify, we would have a hopeless life, much like the Muslims. No matter what they do, there's never anything they can do where they have an assurance of salvation. With Christianity, we believe, and even if we've fallen short in sin, we believe that he will forgive those sins when we confess, repent, and return to him and give us that eternal life.
But others, be they Muslim or whatever, say, you don't, where's Jesus? I don't see him. It's a matter of faith. And we don't see him at this point, and faith is built upon simply that belief.
Yes, it's a faith in what we do not see yet, and we get more credit for believing without seeing than those that believed by seeing, and that's very important. The faith comes from our heart and spirit. That's the main thing.
So when we go through this Easter, where we are now in our nation, and I'm not talking about the world conflict, in our nation, will we go through this Easter and see better times, more people beginning? I'm seeing polls that show more young men actually want to return to the faith.
Well, I hope so, and I see things like that as well, and we need an awakening in this country, and I'm heartened when I see people speaking out more in public now than we've seen in a generation or so, and referring to Jesus Christ and referring to our faith as part of our public leadership, if you will. And others will not like that, but they are people that would not like the mention of Jesus or his presence anywhere else either. And so I think we who believe, who I think are the majority of the country, have to step up and be examples and encouragers for others.
Amen. Wishing you a most blessed Easter, Richard.
Thank you very much, and God bless America.
God bless America. Richard Battle, author of the series Americans Who Made America, and his book, Surviving Grief by God's Grace. Tomorrow marks the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. So that is our story behind the story when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day, because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
On April 4, 1968, at 6:01 p.m., James Earl Ray, a white drifter and petty criminal, raised a bathroom window at the rear of the Bessie Brewer's rooming house on South Main Street in Memphis, Tennessee, and aimed a Remington Model 760 rifle across the street at the Lorraine Motel. When he saw Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. step onto the balcony of room 306, he pulled the trigger. A fraction of a second later, a single 30 caliber bullet from his weapon struck the civil rights leader in the head. At 7:05 p.m., doctors at St. Joseph's Hospital pronounced Dr. King dead. He was only 39 years old. As word of the tragedy spread throughout Memphis, a pall of shock and sadness blanketed the black community. Anguish soon turned to anger. Fearing a riot, the Memphis police went on high alert, but calm prevailed. Local civil rights activists, who for the past 2 months had been leading a full-scale grassroots mobilization to support striking black sanitation workers, channeled raw emotions into peaceful marches and public remembrances. Nonviolence, however, did not win out everywhere. 172 American cities exploded in the days following Dr. King's assassination.
That was as it was known at that time and told about the King assassination. On April 4, 1968, 6:01 Central Standard Time that evening. That would be tomorrow. The American civil rights leader fatally shot while at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a fact. It's a fact he was rushed to St. Joseph's Hospital, where he was pronounced dead at 7:05 at age 39. What has been a disputed fact was James Earl Ray, the guy who did it. And James Earl Ray had been pulled into custody quickly and did confess, but then later recanted the confession. So there's a lot of background around this story that still to this day, much like the assassination of JFK, that has questions about it. You're entitled, obviously, to believe what you believe. For a period of time, the King family and others, and maybe still do, believe that the assassination was a result of a conspiracy involving the U.S. government, the mafia, and Memphis police. That was prominent shortly after his death and for some time since. The jury at one point, the government agencies could not defend themselves or respond because they weren't named as defendants in a trial, a wrongful death lawsuit filed by a guy by the name of Lloyd Jewers in 1993 for $10 million, both sides presenting evidence. But based on the evidence, the jury concluded that the Jowers and the others were part of a conspiracy to kill King and awarded his family the symbolic $100 they requested in damages. The allegations and finding of the Memphis jury later disputed by the U.S. Department of Justice in 2000 for lack of for evidence. Now, that assassination was one of four in the 1960s. Yeah, the assassination of JFK, 1963. The assassination of Malcolm X, 1965. 2 months before the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy in June 1968. Now, in the 1950s, King had already received death threats because of his prominence in the civil rights movement. And he confronted his risk of death on a daily basis. And in 1958, there was an attempt to stab him. He said, I told my wife it's going to happen to me. I keep telling you this is a sick society. That was in then where he was almost stabbed to death, but he survived it. He referred to a letter written by a young girl because he had made a reference that, good thing I sneezed at that point. It helped me avoid a fatal wound at that point. And she'd written back, I'm glad you did sneeze at that time. But then you jump ahead to April 4, 1968. And again, King was in Memphis trying to support the striking sanitation workers. Most of them were black. And the even black and white, the blacks were being paid less than the white sanitation workers. That was his reason for being in Memphis.
Several thousand Negro demonstrators are participating in this largest civil rights demonstration ever in Memphis, Tennessee. Today, as the march moves up toward City Hall, Dr. Martin Luther King will speak to the striking workers and their sympathizers, now estimated somewhere between 5 and 8,000.
So I come to commend you, and I come also to say to you that in this struggle you have the absolute support, and that means financial support also, of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference.
So he was there to help out, but he also admitted later that he was upset by the failure of the march. He left Memphis that following day, but then later returned on April 3rd. Their flight had actually been delayed by a bomb threat at that point. That's when he checked into the room 306 at the Lorraine Motel before leaving around noon to go to a meeting and planning to announce another march for April 5. There were some tornado warnings that night, that afternoon, heavy rainfall. But King did manage to make it in time to a planned speech at the Mason Temple. About 2,000 were waiting for what would be Martin Luther King's last speech.
We've got to give ourselves to this struggle until the end. Nothing would be more tragic than to stop at this point in Memphis. I want to thank God once more for allowing me to be here with you. I left Atlanta this morning and then I got into Memphis. And some began to say the threats, or talk about the threats that were out. Yeah. What would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers? Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried. Fearing any man, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Messiah.
that was the last speech by Martin Luther King Jr. As I said earlier, James Earl Ray, when arrested, confessed but later recanted. So there's a lot more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
We came from the courtyard about 6 o'clock. Pow. We hit him at 7 this time. Pow. And knocked him against this door. What you see is him lying here, his foot in this banister. Happened so fast. All I saw was blood just everywhere. Knocked him against the back of the hotel door. I remember somebody saying, get low, because whoever it was, if they spread the bullets, because they had 3 or 4 of us in the courtyard. There's a picture of Andy Young and somebody we pointed at. That picture is, we were saying the police coming to drone guns. The guns, the shot didn't come, it came that way. Go the way the shot came from. That's what that picture was all about. I hate to replay that moment. He died so young, so innocent, such moral authority. It hurts to think about it, talk about it.
That was Jesse Jackson, who was standing next to King when he was shot. James Earl Ray, later arrested across the street at the Lorraine Motel. James Earl Ray, born in Alton, Illinois, originally confessed but then retracted it and then later talked about what he saw had happened.
I was headed toward New Orleans when I had the radio, and I used to keep the radio on. I think I didn't have too strong feelings about the shooting.
When you met Raul, you didn't know any other name for him. That's the name that he said was his, and that's all you ever knew.
Yeah, I guess not. Mm-hmm.
And you met him where?
Canada.
Up in Canada. Yeah. And you just met in a saloon, or?
It was a saloon in a waterfront area of Montreal. Mm-hmm.
You never became good friends then?
No, I wasn't a good friend. Mm-hmm. Just business. Mm-hmm. These were all aliases, I assume.
You don't think Raul was a real name at all then, huh?
No, I've got some Freedom of Information papers in there saying there's Raul Santiago or something in New Orleans. It's supposed to be him, but I don't have the FBI. That's material from the FBI files, but I don't have nothing to substantiate that.
So you think their mind was made up when they got you?
Well, it had to be made up. They couldn't... Well, I don't know if there's any penalty for extraditing someone fraudulently or not, but I think I can see their legal point where they've got to stick with their story.
All right, so that's James Earl Ray talking about a guy named Raul, which no one could ever verify, and he said that he was implicit. Ray had escaped previously from Missouri State Penitentiary in 1967, and then after his first escape, he later arrived in Birmingham and ended up making another escape from prison and went to Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. But did he do the shooting? And was the gun that they say did the shooting, was it responsible? A former Shelby County judge, Joe Brown.
That Remington 760 Game Master they've got in the Civil Rights Museum is not the murder weapon. The thing the state relied upon was the rifle, but modern scientific methodology excluded that rifle from being the murder weapon. The bullet they pull out of King's body has a rate of rifling twist of one turn in every 11 and a quarter inches. The rifle that Ray had a rate of rifling twist of one turn in every 10 inches in a bad manufacturing defect that is not apparent on the death slug. He was shot with an XM21. It's a 7.62 by 51 millimeter NATO caliber weapon with a special stainless steel barrel. The shot came from the dormitory in the fire station through a window that had been slightly parted.
And in fact, the window from the Lorraine Motel where Ray had supposedly fired, there'd been a tree limb through it. And Joe Brown said that could not have been the shooting spot.
Captain Tommy Smith, who retired as head of homicide for the Memphis Police Department, who was the first detective on the scene, he said the shot couldn't have been from the flop house. There was a limb about this thick growing diagonally through the window, and you couldn't even see the Lorraine Motel from that location. He said, I came back with crime scene in about an hour and the whole tree had been cut down, and I found out there was a cut down order sent out to the sanitation department.
The U.S. 111th Military Intelligence Group were at Dr. King's location during the assassination for undisclosed reasons. The 20th...
So there are a lot of questions still. Did Ray do the shooting and what weapon was actually used? But the summation was that King was dead. His last words were to a musician who was scheduled to perform that night at another planned event. As he was wounded and still trying to live, he said, Ben, make sure you play Take My Hand, Precious Lord, in the meeting tonight. And in response, the musician said, okay, I will. Take my hand, precious Lord, and play it pretty. The assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. on April 4th. Our second hour is still to come. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge. A wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law is already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.